Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hi everyone. Welcome to the People's Medicine Show. I'm the host, Sean. I'm, like I said, I'm an amateur herbalist, and I pre-recorded much of the show tonight a couple hours ago. I rambled on for about 40 minutes, and I said pretty much all the things I wanted to say, but there were a few things that I forgot to say, so I was like, oh, I'll open the show with the things I forgot to say on the pre-recorded segment. So the pre-recorded segment will have a lot of my introductions and contact info, so I have to get out of that habit of always rattling that off, because most of the time people have the information if they click the link on the Blog Talk Radio page. So one of the things that I didn't go into deeply enough was the topic I picked. One of the topics I picked tonight was developing ambidexterity. And that means working with your right and left side in equal amounts so you don't stress one side out. And at first, it seems so difficult to use my left side because I'm doing this heavy work of hand-moving rocks on my property. But I have to always keep in mind that when we work with our left and right side in an equal fashion, that parts of our brains also develop. So it is a long-term health strategy to want to work with my left side, because my right side has been worked so hard that I'm ready to start using this left side. It's unused. And I'm looking forward to finishing this rock moving, and it's probably going to take many years to finish. So that is one of my strategies that I'm embarking upon, is learning to use my left side to do a lot of the manual labor that I'm doing. And the other things that I wanted to talk about was I'm now living in an off-the-grid rental property, and it has a full solar setup. It could run full power AC. It has a washer and a dryer. That the dryer is run with propane tanks. And the cooking and the hot water is also supplied with propane. So there's so many different things about living off-grid. I understand now why people do not choose to live off-grid, because I'm juggling the battery levels, whether I'm discharging my solar batteries too quickly. I'm also keeping full gasoline cans to charge my batteries just in case they do suddenly run out. And since this is a rental property, I didn't buy these batteries. I don't know the order that they were replaced. I'm really in a quandary right now because I'm learning all these different skills on how to keep track of a solar electrical system. So as far as developing my mind, I think I have plenty to work with right now, just learning how to operate solar electricity. And a lot of it, I just have to, throw my hands up in the air and, okay, I'll have to buy more gasoline for the generator because I didn't know the batteries were going to run out that quickly. So I did want to just stress that I did have apprehension about ever wanting to live, quote, off-grid. And now that I'm actually doing it, it's not off-grid. I have propane tanks and gasoline generators. And I want to run a small chest freezer so I can keep herbs in a usable state for things that I want to do with herbs. And so I'm investigating buying my own lithium power bank and learning how to keep that charged. And I think the newer technology is rated at very high efficiency rates. They have solar panels now that are over 20% efficiency rates. And so I'm doing a lot of research about installing 385-watt panels to charge a small lithium power bank to run a chest freezer 24 hours a day. And chest freezers are very, very efficient. It's wild because I think if I remove this full-size refrigerator and just use a chest freezer and a small refrigerator, I would be in much better shape with being afraid that a cloudy day is going to make my electricity turn off. so those are some of my adventures I'm having. And I always mention new podcasts that I'm listening to, and I listen to some of the new episodes of Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History. And he has one that features his belief or practice of nihilism. And I thought it was so wonderful. And I think it was Good Night. It's a wonderful series, though, Revisionist History, and he does them in episodes. And I'm trying to remember now, because he has one that's about the Korean War and the use and history of napalm. But so perhaps that's the same episode where he talks about nihilism and just, you know, throwing your hands up in the air and saying with as much humility in your heart, I don't know what to do right now, so I will do nothing. And settling back into that, and I think that is one of the survival skills that we're learning in these times of plague and pestilence. So I guess I'm gonna get ready to play the pre-recorded segment. And yeah, so I talked about how living off the grid is a big pain in the ass, and I wouldn't really suggest it to anyone because it's really not living off the grid. If I could just run cable from the street and use one form of power, that's so much easier than propane tanks and gasoline cans and lithium batteries. So I've been talking to a few really pretty good solar suppliers, and you can get really good deals if you shop around. So, of course, I've talked to people on the mainland of the United States who import things, and they offer really good warranties on batteries. I guess they can nowadays, but in the event that I needed to return a lithium battery, it would entail me paying the shipping and also taking it down to the port of Hilo and putting it on a boat, because there's restrictions on transporting lithium batteries, especially large ones. So it's one of the risks that people take, and I think that's one of the things people probably have a column of why they're not, you know, switching over to solar and more sustainable ways. There is levels of complexity and learning and like mind expansion to be able to pull this all into my lifestyle. But I'm sure, you know, you talk to me a year from now after I've been using the lithium batteries and know the ins and outs of things. What's really funny, though, about charging batteries is sometimes they just discharge at a really quick rate. And I could talk to the smartest electrical engineer, and they really can't put their finger on it, especially the old-fashioned lead acid batteries, I think, that this house uses, that you have to add water to. So there's all these different variables, and I'm sure maybe if you used double insulation and you really insulated the temperature that the batteries are kept in, that may improve predictability in where you're at, if you really are cutting it very close to the bone. Because yeah, it is wonderful to have a full-size regular refrigerator, because a lot of people have these crappy propane refrigerators and they never actually get the food cold enough. So I would totally recommend, but perhaps I have not used a good modern propane refrigerator, but every time I've ever seen them, they stink. And yeah, so that's something that I don't want to ever investigate, is the propane appliances. But perhaps new technology will make these things better and more easy to use. So I am enjoying my chickens, and you may have heard them crowing in the background. So I'm going to begin the pre-recorded segment, and I take a break about 12 minutes in, so maybe I'll come back on and I'll pause the recording and take some calls. We do have a call in. It's 646 929-2463. I'll be back in probably 12 minutes. If you want to call in or interrupt the recording, let's do it, you know, and we'll make this as free flow as possible.
Okay, welcome to the People's Medicine Show. My name is Sean. I'm an amateur herbalist, amateur gardener, but someone who is very passionate about the plants, the animals, the energy around us. So, this is on Susan Weed's Blog Talk Radio podcast feed, and I'm looking forward to hearing from people. You can interact with me by email. My email address is peoplesmedicineshow@gmail.com. And you can also contact me through Facebook. My name is Sean, S-E-A-N, Murnin, M-U-R-N-I-N. All right, so let's get on with the show. This is the People's Medicine Show. I'm living on the Big Island. I've been here since 2017, so coming up on 3 years. And I've been dreaming of living in Hawaii since I was 19 years old, and I'm in my early 50s now. And I've been here for a few years, and perhaps if the volcano doesn't chase me away, I'll be here forever. And the restrictions on travel this week or this year really planted me here and really has allowed me to grow some deep roots in this beautiful, rocky, nutritious, rich soil. And I've been working on an acre of land, and they call it a spaghetti lot, and it's a little less than an acre, but it's only about 800 feet wide or 80 feet wide, and it goes back about 600 feet. So it's a really long, skinny piece of land. And I'm messing up with my years. It was just last year, 2019, I had a bulldozer, come through and cut me a path right through this spaghetti lot, and it goes all the way to the back of the lot. So it's been about 16 months, perhaps. Yeah, about 16 months, and I've been just moving all the rocks that were cleared with the bulldozer. It's a long, painful process, and I've hired people, but it's really expensive to hire people to move your rocks for you. And but I do have a beautiful gated entrance that I'm finishing right now. So I've been on the Twitch streaming platform, and I have a handle there, and it's Smiley X Gen, G-E-N, Smiley X Gen. So I've been trying to break the tedium of moving the rocks by doing a Twitch stream and, you know, just putting it out there and perhaps developing a little bit of regularity of how I attack this outdoor project, which may go on for many years. I don't know, but it's a lot of fun, and it feels like it's a slow, patient way to really build my own home someday and have a homestead that I've seen other people build themselves. And the ones that are the most attractive to me seem to, I asked the person, and they're like, yeah, I've been working on it for 20 or 30 years. So I guess that's what I really want. I want something that I want to build over a really long period of time. But I've never done this before, or never been around anybody who's just like cut a piece of bare earth and built a house. So it's really just, you know, I have no instruction book, no manual. And I just ask questions and seek answers from the universe on what to do and how to do it and the priorities and what's important. So I'm working on getting my entrance gate put in. So I have most of the cement or concrete for the posts that are going to hold the gate. I have that purchased and stockpiled in a dry place. And it's kind of funny. There's some wet cement that was left over from when they built the entrance wall. And that got wet, so that's going to be part of the anchor for my my gated entrance. That's my main project that I've been working on. I haven't been driving Uber or Lyft, and I've been working a lot less on the regenerative farm, which is about 20 minutes away from me down closer to the coast. So I've been up at this new rental property that I'm living in, and I think I'm about 500 feet lower than the property that I'm actually working on and building on. But it gets really cold here, and I really have to get my firewood game going, you know, because I do not have firewood skills, and I have to just learn to, that's just another skill that I want to acquire, you know, the rhythm of gathering wood, stacking it, drying it, you know. And it's always a pleasure when you have a fire and it's good wood and you're not struggling or, you know, with smoke and wet wood or any of that. So that is one of my projects that I've started this month. Yeah, I'm going to figure out firewood because it does get chilly and damp here, and there's nothing that beats a fire. And perhaps that's going to be definitely something I want to integrate into my home up 500 feet higher in elevation, is to have some kind of fireplace, fire stove. I'm still investigating all the possibilities. So this month, as far as herbs are concerned and herbal medicine, I've not really encountered anything new except one plant. And you would say it's not new, but it's new to me because it entered my life. And just so I was down at the local mini strip mall, and there was a flea market stand right in the middle of the parking lot with people with masks on. And I was like, what's going on here? This is not where they normally have a flea market. And it was a local, I believe it was a women's group. And they were distributing the starts of this lovely aromatic lavender plant. And I'm still not sure. I've not seen this lavender plant flower, but they had starts. And I said, can I have one? They're like, yeah, we sell them for $5. And I was like, sure, I'd love to support your club. And I didn't get their information or anything, but I'm sure they probably will use that spot again, and I'll meet them again in the future. So lavender is my plant this month that's just entered my life, and I've been, breathing with it and living with lavender. And, it's so cool how I don't want to rush in and learn too many plants all at once. I think I've gone through that phase where I want to buy all these herbal books and get this encyclopedic knowledge of all the plants. It's more like these plants are coming into my life one at a time, and I'm sure that's the way it is for everyone, that they just find one plant at a time and just allow themselves to be captivated by it. And I don't know if the word captivates the right word, drawn into, I don't know what the right word would be, but lavender is my plant this month. And the other thing that's really a lot of fun is I've been growing this high CBD variety of hemp. And supposedly, it will test according to like USDA definition of what hemp is. And it would contain less than 0.3% of THC. So I think I have three varieties of this hemp, and it's very sticky. And it looks like normal marijuana or cannabis. And most botanists will tell you, you know, cannabis is cannabis. It's not really, there really is no, you know, botanical differentiation between hemp, cannabis, marijuana. Even the strains that they call indica and sativa, most botanists are like, yeah, there's really not much structural difference to really make that kind of distinction in a botanical reference. I always find that fascinating that the cannabis family only has two plants, cannabis and hops. And yeah, it's kind of an unusual plant family. And I'm really drawn to both cannabis and hops. I went through a period a few years ago where I loved making hops tincture. And I would go to the beer brewing stores and try all their different hops. And I would tincture them in 100 proof vodka. And I think hops is one of those things I went in and out of really quickly. And but it's kind of fun that every now and then I look through my tinctures and I see the hops and I dip my finger in and just, you know, get a little bit of hops, you know, off my finger. It's a beautiful plant that preserves really nice in 100 proof vodka. And I'm not sure if it needs to be completely fresh, because it, like I said, I've used the dried hops that I bought at beer brewing stores and gotten really pretty high quality medicine from it. And I'm sure the beer brewing world are a bunch of herbalists. And it's funny that I say herbalist, because I have some friends in Australia and New Zealand now. And when they say herbalist, you know, it's not like, okay, I guess I'm going to be saying herbalist now. And it is kind of fun how your friends really determine your language. And I've always, you know, loved putting out that brutal, like violent type of, I don't know what you'd call it, a threatening thing. And now I'm starting to understand that, yeah, that was one of my protection mechanisms, my defense mechanisms that I would put out. Like, I'm a tough guy and I like to roll with the tough people. And now when I say really violent, brutal things, people are like, ah! And I'm trying to think of an example. And yeah, perhaps I just, the way I'm calling lazy lately, and I guess Hawaiians have been cursed and been called lazy as a curse word. And as an older man, I look at laziness as a virtue, that you are protecting your body from overwork and you're not like going to work yourself into an early grave. And seeking the path of less, you know, less action seems to be a strategy that I want to develop. So I have to come up with another word than lazy, because I throw it around a lot. And I'll compliment people by going, look at that lazy way to do it. And it's like, it's not looked at, you know. So it is kind of fun, though. That's one of the things I've been learning about my own language and the way I project myself to others. And, yeah, perhaps they will interpret it as, yeah, violent and aggressive, where I'm just putting it out like in as passionate and authentic way as possible. There is a beautiful orange bird outside that I am not familiar with. I almost want to stop this recording and see if I could photograph it. So perhaps, yeah, it's a two-hour show. You can wait a minute or two. And I don't think I'm going to do any post-editing. So we'll just have a long break. And I need to stop talking anyway. I've been talking for over 10 minutes. So I'm going to take a break, and I'll be back in a few.
Okay, so this is me in real time. We're taking a little break while the recording keeps playing, so I will be back. but I'm going to hold the space and invite you to call in, because I'll stop anytime if you want to just chat about lavender or some of the things I've already spoken about. So that number is 646-929-2463. Yeah, come on the line with me. If I'm saying things that don't rock with you, or you want me to further explain something, that's how you do it. Because I don't know what more information I could really offer, but these are things that I really have to get them out. And I love doing the monthly show, because there's always things that I need to. Yeah, let me put that out there. And if you do have any experience with buying solar panels, I would love some help. And yeah, or purchasing, off-grid electricity equipment. But yeah, those. I'm gonna get a little silence and let the pre-recording start back up.
Okay, so I'm back, and yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do post, but perhaps when I play this recording, when we go live in a few hours, I'll just talk during that little lull. So you'll have nonstop of me yammering. And so, yeah, I've been on. So I was on the cannabis hemp thing where, yeah, there's just a perpetual harvest now of just cannabis flowers. And now there's brand new cannabis that's sprouting up. And I ordered a bunch of autoflower strains from Holland, and they were kind of expensive. I think they were $5 or $6 a seed. And I just wanted to try to see what the autoflower was all about. And I think you do need an artificial lighting, and you need to plant your autoflower seeds in a large pot. They're not really set up to do any kind of transplanting. They just grow, and they grow very quickly. So I think perhaps if I ever try autoflowering cannabis varieties again, I will use an artificial light and just keep it under 24 hours of light, because it automatically will trigger flowering from chronological age, not even from any light deprivation, where normal photo period cannabis varieties respond to, as soon as it gets 12 or 13 hours of darkness, you're going to get a flower development and ripening. So that's a lot of things that people, you know, when they ask me, how do I grow pot? I say, yeah, you really have to learn about your dark periods, because, you know, you'll grow a seed, it'll grow up for 4 or 5 weeks, and then to get it to flower, you really got to get it into some total darkness for, you know, nice long periods. And there are probably types of cannabis that only need maybe 9 or 10 hours of darkness, but it does need to be uninterrupted, and shining lights or turning lights on can really, really mess it up and confuse it. And it will actually cause a female to start sprouting male flowers to pollinate it. I don't know if it's called male flowers that pollinate, male pollen sacs. So female plants that have their dark cycles interrupted can turn into hermaphrodites, where they'll get big pollen balls and start squirting pollen all over. So it is kind of funny, though. I had an accidental pollen spill last year, and it was a lemon hash plant from the Bodhi collection of seeds. And he's a really cool hippie guy that traveled around Asia and collected a lot of beautiful plants. And he, I think this lemon hash plant that caused seeds all over my house, all over my garden last year, was a descendant of it was an Ohio thing, like a lemon type of OG type of thing from that was famous in Ohio. So it is kind of funny that here I am in Hawaii, you know, growing seeds that are descendants of plants that were nurtured and developed in Ohio. And that goes the same for with all these hemp varieties that I was sent. So I am enjoying the whole perpetual harvest. And the other perpetual harvest is I have chickens at this new house, and they come visit me every day, and I bought chicken feed, so I'll throw a cup of chicken feed out there and go visit them once or twice a day. And they kind of trust me, and then when I pull out my iPhone to take a picture, they freak out and get skittish and run. And I've yet to be able to get really gorgeous pictures, especially of the brood of hatchlings that has jumped up at, overnight. And they're about three days old since I've been seeing them. And I would love to get a real close-up macro shot of the cluster of hatchlings, because it's really a lot of fun. They're so cute. And the other wild birds that come through my yard are these Sri Lankan pheasants. And I don't really know the right word. I think they're just a feral type of bird, land bird from Sri Lanka. And I think they're very good eating. So, we have a little bit of food security here in Hawaii. If we're ever cut off from the mainland, perhaps we could eat pheasants and pigs. And perhaps we would have enough calories here to, transition into a real local economy. There's a lot of local political movements here that are really, yeah, let's do that. And I think that these type of economies are all over the place. And a few years ago, I think they were called transition communities. So, yeah, they're looking for, you know, doing your own gardening, your own crop raising, animal raising, keeping it all local, doing your own, value-added processing, preserving. That would be cool, though, if we went back to having local canneries where we bring all our extra food and they bottle it up for us, and then we bring the empty bottles back. That would be kind of cool. I don't know. And it's so funny now with automation. They're probably going to have an automated bottling system where, you know, several people can just chip in for their own bottling factory. And but it is interesting that the technology that's coming out with self-driving cars where 10 or 20 people can share the same car if it's self-driving, because there would be an algorithm and the car would probably be in use, you know, every minute of the day, but it would probably jump back and forth between people depending on the algorithm. So I'm always fascinated with that type of data that the companies like Uber and Lyft are accumulating right now to develop self-driving cars that don't need to be owned, that they could be community property, and especially taking care of a car is often too much for one person. You know, the maintenance of these vehicles and machines, and you know, local canneries. One person can't really do all this work, so it does entail that we gather ourselves in groups and form cooperative power with one another. So, yeah, those are the things that I'm going on, though. And, yeah, so another topic that I really wanted to hit tonight was developing and nourishing and nurturing ambidexterity. And ambidexterity would be able to – is using – your right and left side with equal amounts of energy. So I've always favored my right side, and it's funny because I just burst out with a bunch of aches and pains this month. First, I bruised an elbow, and I'm not sure if I had a bruised elbow last month when I did this show, but when you bruise a bone, it's often more hurtful than when you break a bone and it just goes on and on and on. And I think this is the only second time in my life that I've ever bruised a bone. And I bruised my ribs back in the late 90s on a trip to New Orleans, and there was alcohol involved, and came home with bruised ribs. And that is a nightmare, because every time you take a deep breath, it's like, it's a stabbing pain. And it goes on for 4, 5, 6 weeks, and it just doesn't seem to let up. It's a really obnoxious type of pain. So I've had that again with this elbow injury, and I found these wonderful, it's funny, I injured my elbow about 5 years ago, and I looked at my Amazon order history, and these elbow pads that I bought were about 5 years ago, and I think it was in the month of August that I injured my elbow, because that's when I ordered these elbow pads. So yeah, it is kind of funny though, in this world where we have online ordering, where we could just, you know, just search and find, oh, I bought it on that date in that year. But I had these wonderful, and I think the brand name was called Bird and Cronin, and so comfortable. I hate any kind of like jewelry. And yeah, so I've been wearing elbow pads. I've gotten back to using an activity tracker, and one of my friends and listeners is using the same tracker, and we're sort of doing an accountability with one another. And these accountability groups are really good. I did one last month with one of the Twitch communities I'm involved with, and it's a lot of fun. You pick something you want to do for 30 days. And perhaps you could develop yourself into doing it effortlessly. When you do it every day for the same amount of time, it just, you know, a lot of times we can just lock into it. But it was funny because most of the people that chose to exercise every day for 30 days, as soon as the thing was over, it kind of gives you a break. You're like, oh, I had 30 days straight of exercise. I'm ready to stop. So I think we stopped the last one 2 weeks ago, and we're starting a new one. So I'm about 3 days into doing another one of these 30-day challenges, and I chose to set a timer for 5 minutes and to write in my journal every single day. And I write in a journal very consistently, but not every single day. So it is interesting that, I don't know if that word is right, interesting, enlightening, educational, to find that I do not like doing a lot of things every single day. And that goes for the same with, but it is funny that I like vaping nicotine and I like drinking coffee every single day, but that developed, I guess, you know, from me doing it every day for 30 days. So it is funny that I can only cite harmful things that I like to do. But I'm sure we all, you know, most of us make our bed and do our dishes and clean our cars every single day. But a lot of people don't. And they have a nice little rhythm where they only have to do it, you know, once or twice a week or once or twice a month or once or twice a year. And, yeah, that's what I was thinking of. I was looking at this organization thing, and they brought this example of going through your mail every day. And I was like, that sounds like such a nightmare to have to go through my mail every single day. But I remember this time, I think it was maybe 15 years ago, where I didn't look at my mail for a year, and I just threw it into a contractor bag and collected it. And I think it took me a few days of just waking up in the morning and going through my mail, and I did it in about, you know, two or three days, but I remember just it just being an all day and into the next day project of going through that contractor bag and deciding what's what. Is there a check in that envelope? And there were a couple checks, but not many. And I'm not even sure if there were checks that expired, but I think it was a whole year that I didn't look at my mail. But I really love having that system where you only look at your mail maybe once or twice a month, and you go through, you pay things, you send out your replies, you ship your work, and the mail system is, you know, I don't know how often do we need to use mail. And do we have to receive mail? You know, like even the personal letters that I get nowadays, there's so few that I could open them all once a month and be okay. And in this world where if you really need me, you can call me on a telephone immediately. Yeah, printed mail is more of just something, it's special. So I think using, physical mail systems in a real, like, minimalist type of way, not only makes it easier to stay organized, it just, it feels right to me. So that's one of the concepts that I've been exploring about how often do I need to go through my mail. And it was funny because I was triggered by this suggestion of going through the mail every day. And I'm like, oh, please, you know. But ambidexterity. So, working on this outdoor project where I'm moving rocks, I injured my lower back by picking up a wheelbarrow that I just did not gauge the right weight of it, because I was used to picking up a wheelbarrow that was just full of rocks. And there was this one time where I was using a shovel and I was also picking up dirt. So the wheelbarrow was not only filled with rocks, but it also had dirt. So when I picked it up, it was a completely different weight. And yeah, it gave me a squish in the bottom of my back. And I don't know, I may have to get one of those teeter inversion things and hang for the next few times, because it's been slow going. And I had to, there was a large foam mattress topper that came with this apartment, and I had to get rid of it because I kept re-injuring my back because I would smush into this mattress topper so deep. And it would actually re-injure my back while I was sleeping. So that is one of the struggles. And then I had my teeth cleaned this past week, and I don't know what happened, but a big sore broke out on my tongue after my tooth cleaning. So I don't know. I think it may be an allergic reaction to that polish that they use. I've never liked any kind of chemicals in my mouth, but I do enjoy when a hygienist gets in there and removes things that I can't. And I guess I'll end the show with my thoughts about COVID-19 and what we know and what we don't know and what we don't know that we don't know. don't mean to become Donald Rumsfeld and cute about it. But, wow. So, yeah, I guess I'm going to hit COVID. So they're finding out that a lot of the American testing facilities have no standards. So they spin these samples that test people for COVID at different rates. And I think the numbers they were throwing out that some spin it for 25 times and they get this many positive cases. And then other people spin it for 30 times, 35 times, 40, 45 times. So I think I'm not a testing expert, but there is a lack of standards with determining what is a COVID-19 quote case. And then the other really cool thing, I think I was reading about it in Scientific American, and they're trying to determine like what's up with the people who have no trouble with COVID and who appear not to get sick by it. And what do they have that the rest of us do not have? And that's a cool question to ask. And I wish I had the article handy. I guess I'm just not really doing my show prep this month, but I am feeling really relaxed, and I think I'm getting everything off my chest and out into the universe that I need to. So, so the people who appear not to have trouble with COVID or just seem to brush it off in a few days appear not to have an individual antibody, but they seem to have a whole system going. They have T cells and B cells. So it is, again, like the way herbalists approach immunity is you want to build your immunity over a long period of time. You want to have vitamin D, and you want to have a lot of immunity-enhancing things. And it's really amazing, too, with the whole thing with the cannabinoid system and how, you know, when you're using CBD or even herbs like echinacea, where the cannabinoid system gets really stimulated in a really cool, positive way, where I believe there's pretty low occurrence amongst heavy cannabis users. And it's funny, too, how when everyone had to stay home and they were afraid of catching COVID, that there has been a large movement of people who are exploring edibles. And so, yeah, I don't know too many people but I'm just reading things saying, yeah, the people who sell edibles report that they're selling a lot more edibles this year. And it's become more of like a market share of what legal or medical cannabis has been, you know, providing for people. But it's also really cool too that I was looking at one of the top cannabis extractors in Northern California, one of the more respected ones who work with the family farmers up there, and how they're just using a straight up oil extraction. And they're not really doing these fancy distillations and things anymore. And yeah, herbalism is people's medicine. It's a simple, simple thing that, you know, you get yourself a bag of cannabis, you get some oil, and you get a crock pot. Or if you want to get fancy, you can get something a little bit more temperature controlled, like a magic butter machine or an instant pot, you know. I have an Instant Pot Ultra, which I can make yogurt with. And I can make all these cool yogurts because I can control the temperature of the water bath down to like the degree. So I've been using it for about a year now to make this one El Ruteri strain of yogurt. And so thick and so rich and beautiful. And I use a half and half to make that type of yogurt. So that appears to be everything I want to talk about on the People's Medicine Show this month. I'm enjoying my new apartment. I'm getting a little bit better with figuring out the electrical off-grid way of living. And it was funny because last month I didn't even know how to get internet, and I had to install sort of a signal booster type of thing to even be able to get proper data signal where I live now. So I really do feel so off the grid where, yeah, even cell phone EMFs can't get me where I am right now. It's really, really an enclave of peace and serenity. And I'm hoping everybody out there has a great time. Please interact with me. I'm going to be Twitch streaming this month, so you can follow me on Twitch, SmileyXGen. So SmileyXGen. SmileyXGen is my handle there. And I think when you want to start a Twitch account, you should name yourself something that would be easily recognized by one of these voice control devices, like the Echo or you know, the Google Home or something. Because people often, when they're playing their radio streams now, they'll say, Alexa, play Ask Herbal Expert Susan Weed.
Here's Ask Herbal Health Expert Susan Weed from Apple Podcasts. Playing the latest episode, Ask Herbal Health Expert Susan Weed and guest, Lauren Cooper.
Yeah, so that's how I listen to
Love Talk Radio.
Alexa, stop playing. Yeah, so that's how I've been playing my radio streams, my Twitch streams that I like to listen to. I have the thing all set up, and I hate to do advertisements for Jeff Bezos, but this device that he has, it's like a 3D speaker now, and they've advanced it to a point where, wow, you're getting what was like, you know, thousands of dollars of high fidelity in a, you know, pretty inexpensive, you know, single unit that just connects to your telephone and you could talk to. So that's how I've been listening to my podcasts and streams lately. And yeah, I'm still really happy listening to the Useful Idiots podcast. And I haven't, I've been really enjoying the Bret Easton Ellis podcast. And that is like a subscription-only thing. I think you got to give him $2 to hear it. But he does these long things, and He did a recent one where he dissected the career of Tom Cruise. And he not only dissected his career, he kind of dissected his charisma. And just talked to another film director friend of his during the podcast. And they talked about their interactions with him and what Tom Cruise is. And I found it fascinating that the one director who was at Tom Cruise's house, his address was 1. And I heard years ago that from a famous numerologist that the actor Tom Cruise has straight ones throughout his his numbers, his quote numbers. And it is fascinating that some people seem to be born with a type of certain something. And, yeah, it's really cool to recognize. And those are the things I've been into lately. So I think I'm going to end the show early this month. I've talked about chickens and cannabis and developing ambidexterity and my rock scooping. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing some more rock scooping and doing it live because I am so bored by it, doing it by myself. So I'm going to do it live on a video stream, and perhaps the people who are into that EMDR or whatever it's called, that EMR, maybe they like the sound of someone throwing rocks into a wheelbarrow. They'll find it soothing. So yeah, that's the show I think this month. I've been subscribing to music streaming services. And I just picked up the Amazon HD, and it's just about up for the trial subscription. So now I signed up for another one called Spotify. And Spotify is really cool because your friends in social media can actually connect to your Spotify account and find out what you've been listening to throughout the day. So, yeah, that would be cool if you want to hook up with me on Discord, drop me an email address or get a hold of me on Facebook, and you can see what I'm listening to on Spotify. And I'm going to switch over to Spotify for a while and see if I can integrate my music listening with my podcast habit. And it is kind of funny that I've become a podcaster myself, but the reason I am a podcaster is I think I know what I like. And I was like, yeah, I can put a podcast out and put out the podcast that I want to do. So, yep, I've been closing down this episode for a few minutes. And, yeah, I really don't have any music this month or anything like that. So perhaps next month I'll have a lot more show prep going on. And I'll be a little bit less occupied by other things. And I can put more of an intention to develop this show into something a little bit more professional or polished or snap, crackle, pop. So my name's Sean. You can reach me on Facebook, SEANMURNIN. And looking forward to doing the show again next month. Bye-bye.
Okay, so here I am during the live stream. If anyone wants to call in, I'm still here. And I guess the only addendum I want to add was I have been using this Instant Pot Ultra. And since I'm very concerned with my power usage of using electrical appliances, I have this device called a Kill a Watt. And so I'm looking at the wattage that something like an Instant Pot Ultra uses, and it does. On the initial heating stage, it will go over well over 1,000 watts. And then as soon as it reaches pressure, it drops down to less than 1 watt. And I'm not sure if this kilowatt device is actually measuring it correctly, because then when I press the cancel button, and supposedly when there's no heating, no keep warm on the Instant Pot, it turns into one of those vampire appliances where it's still drawing 3 watts. So I really don't understand the Instant Pot and how it's measuring power, but it does save a lot of power, because I made bone broth yesterday, and it was I had it on for 2 hours, and I looked at the kilowatt device, and it said it was only using 1 watt after it reached the pressure that it needed. And I stored all the extra chicken broth in the, I guess it's called bone broth or chicken broth. I added a lot of grated carrot and celery, bay leaf, and dried spices. I love using dried spices. So that is my addendum for the pre-recorded segment of the show. And I hope everyone's enjoying the show. If you have more things that you want to tell me, please interact with me and help me to improve the show. I could always use some co-producers. So if you want to send in sound clips or show me where to get a sound clip that you'd like me to play on the show, I'll do that. Because some months I come in and I have a lot of things that I just clipped. And perhaps that's the way it'll be for the October show. We'll see. But I'll gather more things that I'm interested in, come back and share them with you again next month. So I'm going to end the show for real for now. Okay, bye-bye.